Oh boy.
He's a vape groom, and he's vaping too hard, and he can't go inside of the church. Vape groom. He could stop vaping and go get married. He could stop vaping and go get married. But he won't, boy, because he needs to vape, because he's just a little vapey boy. Yeah.
Vape boy.
I think we got our cold open for sure.
Fuck me.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, no, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, no, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, no, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everybody. This is episode 67.
Coming in hot.
We're in. Yeah, we're in that heaven spot.
Hey.
And it feels so good. So welcome back to Faking Movies. This is Faking Movies, and I'm here with my friend Zach. What's up, Zach?
Not too much. What is up with you?
Oh, I don't know. I think, so as you know, I had to slam my big fuck-off sandwich before we recorded at the same time.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And along with my big fuck-off sandwich, I slammed a few beers. So
okay.
I think I'm feeling it. What's up, Seth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, before every episode, I just take out my keys and I shotgun two or three and definitely don't vomit everywhere. And And then roommates are just mad at you
every week. Yeah. Seth, the floor is sticky again. Again, Seth,
well,
this shit.
My house more, and the thing is that one, it's not beer. It turns out that it's like canned Zima or something.
I didn't even know they made canned Zima anymore. They barely make bottled Zima anymore.
Yeah, well, it's some kind of malt beverage. And also the house, because it's all hardwood, you know, it smells like the shittiest bar that you've ever been in your life, that exists in every college town. It's just like more beer than wood at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And when it gets, you know, it expands.
Uh-huh.
It really makes the wood, so it's destroying the walls, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, the walls deserve to be knocked down.
Well, and then when they fall, you find pirate treasure behind them.
Hey.
Oh, shit, you're right.
Worth
yeah,
it
that was definitely so, that was true at that one bar in the town we all lived in.
Pirate treasure? I don't recall that.
Yeah,
thing.
it was that Dutch themed bar that I always assumed was a pirate bar. I don't remember.
Oh, the one Lee liked a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. There was no pirate treasure at that bar.
No, well, that's
rip that bar. It's now a pickup spot for a grain bowl restaurant.
Oh, huh. Wait, what? The whole thing is just a pickup spot?
Yeah, like, I guess they have a second kitchen. If you're doing a pickup order, you go there.
Whoa, that's a big place for... Okay, weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
Huh. Well, speaking that was
sad,
town we used to live in, corner.
What are we doing this week?
Yeah, what are we
doing
this
movie.
Week? Yeah, speaking of sad.
Oh, no, fun.
Yeah,
that's
some spoilers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah, so Lee, what movie are you doing this week for us?
Well, I'll tell you in a moment here, but first I want to remind all our listeners, please check out our website, check out our Twitter, check out our Instagram, especially our Twitter and website. Those are the things that people other than me put effort into. so check those all out. Seth is really being a shithead right now.
What? I'm just talking. God.
Yeah, making all kinds of faces. So I am doing a movie called Altered States.
Mm-hmm.
And much like recent Lee movie, North by Northwest, NXNW.
Hell yeah!
I wanted to do this one because I want to watch it.
Well, you are wrong. Categorically
incorrect.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think maybe then I felt a little confident about my movie going into this, but now I maybe feel very confident.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so Lee, before you start, well, maybe we should do this after you give your synopsis, because I want to know the thing you thought you knew about this movie before you started.
We'll leave a little teaser here for the audience.
Okay, yep.
I am fairly certain that I know one thing about this movie,
yep.
And I decided to entirely ignore it, and we'll leave that for the end.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So then why don't you get into whatever... Oh, give us the actors or whatever.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. So we're watching... Well, you guys watched, and I am faking Altered States, which stars, at least according to you guys, William Hurt.
It's true. It does star these people.
Okay.
We've never gone that far.
Well, I mean, we certainly have given people actors who are glorified cameos.
Okay, that's true. We do that.
That's
but
more what I was getting at, yeah.
I don't think that's the case in this one.
No. I don't remember who we gave you. We'll find out.
Oh, had to take a sip of my drink. Got that grog. So, Altered States, starring William Hurt.
Yep.
Blair Brown.
Yep.
A favorite of mine, Bob Balaban.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, they're all technically in that movie. Yep.
We definitely pulled that. We pulled that shit.
I forgot we did, but we definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt, we pulled that shit you were just complaining about. So it's
yeah, one of our classic faking movies ploys.
I do not remember Bob Balaban being in this, but I guess he was.
Oh, wonderful! Oh, I guess he's my main character.
That's
so
super duper not the one I was talking about. So I guess we 50% did that this week. Cool.
Based on when I assume this was made.
Oh, just... that's who he is. Thanks, Wikipedia. All right. No, I'm good.
Well, based on when I assume this was made, because William Hurt is the first name you gave me, uh-huh. I'm guessing Drew Barrymore is the other person that Zach's alluding to.
Yeah, she may have been a fetus in someone's uterus at this point. I'm not certain that she was
know, William Hurt was in that super famous 1998 film, Lost in Space. So
that's true. He was also in that mid-2000s film, The Village, a movie that I think is wonderful until something very specific happens.
At the very end, one might say.
You mean the twist?
Yeah. Pre-twist, I think it is a incredible movie.
I agree. I think that it it really sets up a tone and is very eerie and I really enjoy it. And then whoop.
Yep. There's a very specific shot in the movie, and I think if it ended on this specific shot, and we can talk about this later off mic in case we might get to do this movie someday.
Oh yeah.
Until this one very specific shot, if it ended at that moment, I think we'd talk about this movie as being a classic, but
I think I know what shot you're talking about too. So
I think you probably do.
Yeah,
I mean it's a Shyamalan movie. You have to expect the thing that we're talking about. It's just part of the deal, right?
Okay. Well, you know what separates it from other Shyamalans? Roger Deakins shot the movie.
Oh,
so,
I don't.
Yeah, it is.
What's
beautiful?
What's the context for that? I mean, you're not wrong, but what's his deal?
He's perhaps the greatest cinematographer of the modern era. Mm. I mean,
yeah, you idiot moron.
Well,
he just,
fuck me. All right.
Just won his first Oscar after having 15 nominations.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
Anyway, shall I begin?
Yeah, let's get into your plot, whatever that is.
This fuck movie.
Okay. Altered States.
Yep.
So nuclear war has torn the world apart.
Yes, good all start. Existing... Good start. I like
great
it
start. Okay. Yeah. Right on.
All existing governments have fallen and powerful operatives have risen to power, cutting up small parcels and ruling them with an iron fist.
So this is set in 2019 then? Is that...
people all over are suffering, and the most notorious of the warlords is played by William Hurt. He seized power in what was once Switzerland, so he's running his operation out of Central Europe.
Okay.
Wait, he seized his power in what was Switzerland in an ironic sense? Is that... Did he do that on purpose?
There is a reason why it's Switzerland, and that I will explain it later.
Okay.
And
there's a reason why Switzerland is never conquered, because it's very mountainous and really shitty to try to fight a land battle in. So
compulsory army service, whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm about to explain part of his plan via Switzerland, but this is not the reason why I picked Switzerland. I'll get into that later.
Okay. Is it because there's gold in their sewers?
It is gold related is part of the not real reason.
Oh.
All right, so well, if you let me continue.
Have at it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess you can keep talking.
Okay. So William Hurt is in Switzerland, and he's since used the vast banking reserves as a way to draw in loyalty from other despots.
Sure.
He's promised them that he's going to reinstitute old economic systems once they are in control and institute a worldwide oligarchy that they will all command. Ooh, so
sounds appealing. Yep.
Now it's been, flash forward. It's been an indeterminate amount of time since the fallout, and we're in England. And due to England being an island, it has been able to do a little more rebuilding.
It's part of an island.
Well, part of an island.
Not anymore.
Anyway, so because the Isles.
Okay, there we go. Okay, sorry. I thought you were like discounting Scotland.
No, I'm not. How would I ever do that? No.
Okay. Good.
So because it's like part of the British Isles.
Hadrian rules.
This is going very
well. We're not talking about fucking second century Roman emperors here. God damn it.
Sorry. I'll shut up for a while and let you actually get something out.
Let me get through this part. You could talk during the other part.
Yeah, I'm in a rowdy mood. So.
Yeah. Oh, are you in a rowdy mood?
I was
going
to say, save it for the next
one. I
wonder
why. Yeah. So England has been able to rebuild a little more peacefully than other parts of the world because, you know, as an island, it was a little harder for people to come in and try to take over.
Yeah, and soccer hooligans protected them.
Exactly. We also get passing mention of large bits of their navy having survived, and they've, like, reconstituted to protect the mainland. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we meet a family, and that family is made up of Drew Barrymore, Blair Brown, and Bob Balaban.
Hey.
Okay.
Are either of you guys familiar with how in the 70s Adam West was offered the role of James Bond, but he turned it down because he said only British people should play James Bond?
Ooh. I am aware of that.
I was not. Mm-hmm. I like his style. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Broccoli family offered him the role of James Bond in Diamonds Are Forever, and he said no. And then they went and got Connery to come back.
Broccoli family. What?
Albert Broccoli, the rights holder to all the James Bond film franchise.
Oh. You know, you're the saying cabbage, like the I should have cauliflower, known this. Mm-hmm. All sorts of lettuces are probably in there. No, lettuce is not. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Come on now.
The so Roth Seth, you, family. The
you are
definitely that. Yes.
you are familiar with how Adam West said only Brits should play Bond, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, ignore that because Bob Balaban plays James Bond in my movie.
Oh, right. Shit, this is a Bond movie. Wait,
yeah, okay. Uh-huh. I was going to say, you're
I'm so happy.
You buried the lead with this is a James Bond movie. Yeah, all right.
Cool. So this is the James Bond movie for anyone who really loved the part of the shitty comedic version of Casino Royale where Woody Allen played James Bond.
Oh boy, you're doing some deep cuts.
Yeah, so
nobody
in that
has
particular...
seen the first Casino Royale.
Not
Zach,
I.
Zach, in that particular version of the movie, there's no one James Bond. James Bond's a code name, and a lot of different people play James Bond throughout the movie.
I mean, that's
it's like
the
30
actual...
people that, like, there's one scene that has, like, 30 people being James Bond.
And one of them is Woody Allen. Yeah. So this is for all those people who wanted to see that character continue onward but hate Woody Allen, like me.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Bob Balaban is a good, like, less shitty Woody Allen proxy. I'd buy this. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So we're talking about like a nebbish James Bond with halting speech patterns and like little wee tiny glasses.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh. Seems about right.
Okay, so in true faking movies fashion, I have no middle.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm just gonna
gloss over it.
Skip it.
We basically get first we get a bunch of stuff with James doing family stuff when all of his old contacts from the spy world tell him about all the dangers that are mounting in Switzerland.
Wait,
he's reluctant.
James Bond, noted family man. What is this? I don't.
Yeah, because after nuclear war, your priorities change. Yeah.
But he has a family.
In this version,
oh, okay,
he does.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and yeah. he had a wife. We talked about it a couple of episodes.
Teresa
ago.
Bond.
God, you remember when Felix Leiter died?
God damn it, Zach! I don't even know you anymore.
Can we? Is Denise Richards going to show up? Because I vote for
Christmas Jones.
Will not be making an appearance, unfortunately.
She's like Drew Barrymore aged. She'd be like, what, seven?
Okay, but right. That's now you sound gross.
Oh, right, I guess. So, yeah, okay. Never mind. Ugh. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get a lot of Bond with his family until he...
Bonding with his family?
Oh, that's very good, and I didn't even realize. Mm-hmm. So then he gets all this info about what's going on in Switzerland, and he's reluctant to leave his family, but he does. And because of his reluctance and because it's Bob Balaban, we're also going to get a lot of scenes throughout the movie where he's like telephones are gone or something, but they still have radio.
Sure.
Like ham radio and shit. So yeah, he's going to have a lot of really awkward... Yeah, a lot of really awkward radio conversations with his wife and daughter throughout the movie.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Where they're like really fun and hilarious. So.
You were gone for our entire daughter's childhood, and now you left again? And he's like, it's a whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. We're also going to get a lot of like Bob Balaban doing Bond stuff. So he's like going to use gadgets and like have undercover sex, but like really awkwardly.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a very fumbling, bumbling James Bond.
Wait, is there another way to have sex? I don't think so. So,
we were just talking about Austin Powers. I feel like you're describing Austin Powers. Isn't he?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Isn't he bumbling James Bond? Am I wrong?
No, but he thinks he's suave. This James Bond does not.
Yeah.
Oh, he like knows his awkward thing. Okay.
Yeah, he knows
yeah,
that
this
he's...
is like a genuinely awkward person.
Okay. He knows that he's Bob Balaban.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
He's aware.
He should.
So that's the whole middle of the movie is like just spy shenanigans with Bob Balaban.
Sounds
down
right.
With that.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to get him having a showdown with William Hurt. And remember how I mentioned that there's going to be a reason why my Bond villain is based out of Switzerland?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Seth, do you know a Bond villain that's based out of Switzerland at times?
I mean, is it Blofeld?
It is Blofeld. Yeah. He's Blofeld. Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's Blofeld.
But unlike...
Is it Javier Bardem?
No. But unlike in the recent Bond film, Spectre, where they tried to keep it a secret that the character was Blofeld, movie's not.
Yeah.
It's going to be obvious from
course.
The start.
It should be.
Because I'm not a fucking hack, and my movie does not depend on a twist.
Whoa,
exactly.
Shots fired. Okay.
Yeah.
No, but he's right.
Pew,
I mean, he's...
Pew, 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 pew.
Zach, he's not wrong.
Sure.
So, anyway, we have this showdown between Bond and Blofeld.
Yep.
And Bond gets captured, and we're going to have our villain monologue. And during his villain monologue, we learn that his plan is actually going to be just to kill all the other warlords that he's aligned with and have Spectre take over the world.
His
standard
evil organization.
Makes sense.
That he's been running since literally the fucking second Bond movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But in his villain speech, there's going to be a line like, "So stupid of you, James, to chase me all over the world yet again for queen and country. Don't you know the world has changed? We have altered states."
Ha! Okay. Oh, that's a pun.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
"Your misplaced honor and sense of duty was proven false the moment the first missile was fired. You've nothing to fight for anymore. You wasted your life, and finally you will die for it." And then... we get a zoom in on James's eye, and we see this montage of him with his wife and his kid. And
let him turn into the Hulk. I hope he turns into the Hulk.
No, unfortunately, no. During this sequence,
he's not pulling a Cloris Leachman. All right,
yeah,
he's not.
Damn it,
he's not pulling a Cloris. Oh, we got to make that a thing. During this sequence where we see the montage of him, like, thinking about his family that he started ever since, like, you know, realized this is what's important to him, he's able to escape from his ropes because, you know, he's tiny and squiggly.
Yeah.
And he gets the drop on Blofeld, and after some sort of struggle, he's about to kill him. Maybe he's going to, like, drop him off a cliff or something.
Could they perhaps fight on, I assume, Switzerland has Mount Rushmore?
Well,
a Switzerland's version of Mount Rushmore.
They have it's the Matterhorn.
King Lurschmann. I don't know any Swiss cases.
It's like
sorry,
chocolate bar and a secure bank account and a knife. And those are the three things on the Swiss Mount Rushmore.
Okay. It's a Toblerone. A Toblerone filled with Swiss Army knives.
They dynamited the Matterhorn into the shape of a Toblerone. I like this very much.
Yeah, that's you know, what post-apocalyptic Switzerland looks like. You know,
we used to be able to ski on this mountain, and now it's just chocolate-shaped and bullshit.
Now it's just a chocolate-shaped.
So much toffee and hazelnuts in it now.
Oh, it's so bumpy, and you can break it off. It's weird. Yeah. I'm going to take part of the mountain home with me.
But I only buy it at an airport.
I was going to say,
buy part of the mountain at the
people
airport.
People only buy it at duty-free. God damn it. How is that such a thing that we all thought of that at the same time?
Oh, fuck. Anyway, okay. So Bond is like dangling Blofeld off the Toblerone Mountain. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Blofeld looks up at him and he goes, "For queen and country, James?" And James looks back and says, "No, for wife and child." And he lets him go.
Ooh, okay. That was good.
And then we get some sort of epilogue about the British Empire swooping in and they like rise again and take over the world, because even though that's bullshit, it's still a James Bond movie and England has to win.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
And we get, you know, James, we see that James has decided to just retire quietly with his family. Mm-hmm. And then during the credits, we get the familiar James Bond will, and then ... not return. See, I fucking ended the series, bitches.
Oh my god.
Good, wow. Good.
Throw it up in the air. We're
there
done.
It is.
We're done here.
Done, done's it.
Wow. That one was for you, Liz, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Not
so
bad.
All so that was you, Liz, that was too. My altered state.
Yeah.
That
good.
Was good. Yeah. It's good. Okay. Well, oh boy.
Do you want to know the one thing I thought I knew about this movie?
Definitely yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I learned this just from a random comment, a stray comment on another podcast that I happen to listen to. And they're super famous, so I won't bring them up. but apparently in Altered States, there's a lava man, and I decided to leave out the lava man.
You could have shoehorned that into your movie, certainly. I think.
You know, now that you're saying that, like, I could have had a Bond villain, like, henchman as a lava man, but you didn't give me any extra fucking cast members. So.
That's true. That's true. Fair enough.
Yeah. I'll send you pictures of that lava man later. But,
oh, good.
I have so many visual aids for this horrible fucking movie.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
There's some stuff. Okay.
You'll have to send that to Marielle so she can post them on Twitter as like a like one of those books that you have when you're a kid. It's a picture book where you put in the cassette tape and it makes a beep noise when you turn the page.
Sure enough.
Well, that'll happen. So
Child's Compendium to Altered States.
Lee, would you like the one sentence summary of this completely bullshit movie?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I would. Mm-hmm.
A Harvard scientist conducts experiments on himself with a hallucinatory drug and an isolation chamber that may be causing him to regress genetically.
Right. That's different. Yeah.
A little bit.
Oh, this movie is so fucking stupid.
Hey, who directed this movie? I'm curious.
Oh, it was blah, blah, blah.
I don't recall.
Chayefsky. Well, that's the writer. The writer is Chayefsky, is Patty.
Patty Chai? This is our second Patty Chai, I think?
Yeah. The director is Ken Russell.
Oh, Ken Russell directed this. If I knew that, I would have made a lot more dumb visual bullshit in it.
Yeah.
A whole lot more full frontal male nudity.
You'd also be right.
Tommy Fame? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes.
you'd be exactly right with that.
Tommy, Women in Love, The Devils. Yeah.
Hey, do you know what I know do you know whose penis I know what it looks like now?
William Hurt.
It turns out William Hurt's penis.
Yeah, it's like how I know what Oliver Reed's penis looks like because I've seen Women in Love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right, so Zach,
how do we want to start this?
So I have the short summary, but Seth, I think you should read. Seth, I gave him almost no information, I think, and then I was just sort of barely telling him the like some of the intermittent parts, and he goes, "Wait, is it going to be like?" And then literally, like top to bottom, nailed the movie without having known or seen anything.
Seth has been guessing some movies like a motherfucker lately.
So do you have that?
So according to the chat log, because I type this into the chat that we have. This was 5 minutes into me watching the movie. Good job, Lee.
Thanks, baby.
This is 5 minutes into me watching the movie, and this is the way I summarized it.
Mm-hmm.
Scientist does drugs, goes on quest for more drugs, starts taking more drugs, de-evolves while taking drugs. Peeps try to stop him, continues to de-evolve each time he takes drugs, and then reverts. Almost turns to goo, but love saves him, and some shit.
So if you turn goo into lava, literally 98% accurate.
Yeah.
So it's a regular fucking alternate ending of Brazil. Love conquers all, man.
Well, yeah, pretty
but
much.
But it's so Jesus-y.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, this is an incredibly religious movie.
It's a bit rough.
That also checks out for Ken Russell. A lot of Christ imagery in his stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah. So... I'll do short summary and then we can get on into it.
Yep. I'll start sending pictures to the chat.
Love to see some pics.
Lee, yep. Yeah. Well, there might be some dick pics in here, so
hey, doing it. All right.
Don't promise something you can't deliver on.
Well, actually.
Okay. Douchey, quote, I'm gonna really change the world, end quote, prof decides he can cure schizophrenia with what is essentially ayahuasca. Not really essentially, it's literally ayahuasca. And sensory deprivation. He goes to Mexico, does the drug, things already start to get weird.
Even the place where you would go for ayahuasca?
I think Peru is traditionally where the two plants that you can make the thing grow.
I've watched Vice specials on things where they're doing journalism, but really they're just taking drugs.
They think they're doing journalism and they're actually doing drugs, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He brings some back, that's pretty much Vice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. He brings some back and starts doing, quote, scientific trials.
This crucified goat man with many eyes is weird.
Yeah.
A lot of that, yeah. Starts doing trials, all the while upping his dosage while everyone tells him not to. He thinks it's making him regress into a more primitive human. Yeah, so I also didn't realize Bob Balaban's one of the, like, sane friend scientists.
Yeah, it's Arthur. It's my favorite character. So
right, yeah, he's very good, but, he doesn't look like current day Bob Balaban at all.
He's so giant beard and still holding on to, as Sir Patrick Stewart calls it, the fringe.
Yeah, for sure.
He looks exactly like he does in Close Encounters of the Third Kind in that picture you sent me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
When was this movie made, by the way? Sorry to interrupt.
1980. No, just 80.
80.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 80.
Okay,
yeah.
so not that far away from Close Encounters, about 3 years. That makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so people start to tell him to, like, knock it off because it's getting weird, but he starts doing trials by himself alone, and it eventually, he literally turns into a caveman. Like, he regresses fully.
He looks like fucking Nick Kroll.
Yeah.
In a Geico commercial.
Well, in that failed pilot that he had.
Right, yeah. Based on the guy.
That wasn't a pilot. That was a one season picked up TV show. They made like 10 episodes of that shit.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yeah,
they
refilmed the pilot. The original pilot had a lot of social commentary in it. And then the one that actually went on TV did not. So.
Yeah, well, surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
It turns into a caveman. A maintenance dude and a security guard chase him around the campus. Lots of hijinks ensue.
Oh, like a big man on campus. That's fun.
Oh, yeah, sort of. Okay.
You're not thinking of the thing I'm thinking of, so.
No. Okay. He beats up a dog and throws a rock at a goat, which he then
He kills
eats.
A goat and he yeah. eats that goat.
Yep, eats it like a savage. Where are we here? There are somehow no repercussions because he cannot be convinced that this is a terrible idea, so he goes back in to the deprivation tank with the drugs. But his wife previously, or maybe girlfriend at this point. No, I think wife.
It's wife at this point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sure has regressed to caveman.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wife and colleague, I guess. And then Balaban and other guy are supervising to make sure he doesn't fucking kill goats and stuff. Shit obviously goes awry, and there's some crazy bio montages. We eventually get the whole way down to like a single cell. And then the wife appears as like either female god or Eve. It's not clear, but the Jesus stuff again is pretty heavy. Billy Hurt is fully unconscious, and they take him home and put him to bed. It looks like he may have made it out unscathed at the end, but he starts to sort of turn because this has repercussions, of course. He turns into kind of proto Ghostbusters ghost. The wife reaches out and is immediately turned into lava monster.
Man. Yep.
Yeah. While he morphs into, again, sort of a mutant Satan being or something. He eventually wills, or I guess literally like beats his head against the wall to excise the demon out of himself, and then hugs the wife lava monster back into the human realm. The whole climax and resolution is over in like 30 seconds. So like the last
like watching a lot of those lately.
This one is like so accelerated though. The last like four sentences all literally happened in like 30 seconds. It was nuts. Yeah.
Oh, there's that lava man.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So that was the whole thing. Seth like literally nailed it. Like as soon as the movie started, he's like, I get it. Yep.
Yeah. Like this is probably what's gonna go down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very dumb.
God, I hated this movie.
Yeah. I guess so we have
welcome.
Certain numbers of word summaries. I think I want to do mine first because Seth's is way better.
You should do yours first.
Yeah. My three word summary is worse the fly. Like I guess.
Oh, I made a reference to The Fly too.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, when I was watching this, I was like, yeah, this is like a shitty version of The Fly.
Yes, it that was like as soon as he went in the first time and turned into a caveman, I was like, oh fuck, this is fucking The Fly. But like
Seth just sent me after he's sending me pictures from Ocarina of Time now because fucking monsters, the dead monsters in the bottom of the well look like the lava man.
Yep. Yeah, no, his name is Dead Hand, and yeah, it looks exactly it looks exactly like that lava man is William Hurt.
It looks like the wife.
It's all fucked up. It's
the wife is the lava human. William Hurt is the ghost Zelda.
Oh, yeah,
human.
It looks like the ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. We should all play Ocarina of Time more.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Sure.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's very, like, trying, and this is not, like, a novel concept, but it's very much sort of in the vein of The Fly, which definitely did exist later than this movie, but is much more effective. In terms of like
way better movie, yeah.
Yeah, any sympathetic characters at all, I think. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
So Seth, I mentioned that I had a three word summary, and Seth goes, "Okay, cool. I have a three word summary too." And then this happened.
Yeah. It turns out that mine is a 22 word summary.
new record.
Yep. And it's called Dong of the Planet of the Apes, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying About Ayahuasca and Love Jesus, I guess.
It does really capture the essence of the movie, to be fair.
Yeah, because he is naked almost this entire movie.
So much. Yeah.
And there's this stupid allegory of, like, drug culture.
Yeah.
And also, it's all about Jesus. God, there's so much Jesus.
Offensively
so.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed about it.
Yep.
Oddly enough, William Hurt does a lot of sex scenes for a man who isn't conventionally not fat. definitely.
Empirically? Conventionally?
No. I mean, and I don't intend to body shame. I've seen this man without a shirt on in lots of movies, and he is better proportioned in his weight carrying than I am.
He's pretty svelte in this one. He looks okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got that like that 50s heavy strength. You know what I mean? He looks like It's like how Roman gladiators used to eat high-fat diets, so they would have, like, puffy skin that if they cut it, it wouldn't be the muscle, you know? Like,
I was going
to
say, like, he couldn't run even a quarter of a mile, but he could, like, lift a car up if he had to.
Could. He exercises with those weird triangular weights, and he eats fried steak every night.
Sure enough.
For a man who maybe isn't... He's certainly no bodybuilder. He is... showing off that body a lot in movies around this time period.
This one for sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Also, there's... All right, I have another picture to send you.
And visual it is, podcast goofs.
Yeah, well, when he de-evolves...
Dear listeners, no dicks yet, so...
Well, actually, some of the pictures of the caveman, there's a little dong. It's a little harder to see. But this is a thing that really bothered me.
Higher resolution dongs.
In the movie. Was his feet when he de-evolves.
Right. Oh. So, right.
Okay. So it would take literally no research at all for them to know that hominids have five toes. And we'll put this up on the Twitter. But in the goddamn movie, when he de-evolves, he has six toes because
they just
like
added one.
Glued a toe onto the side like a gorilla.
All of these scientists are like either medical doctor, psychologists, psychiatrists, or like biologists, presumably. So this is like extra stupid. Yeah.
Oh, it's so. I mean, it made me so mad partway through.
That's fair.
Oh, I have so many problems with this movie. I just hated it so much. It was so boring and so stupid.
A lot of cyclical shit. It's like, okay, we did a series of scenes that lasted 20 minutes, and it's like, build up to guy goes crazy and gets in the tank, and oops, he almost died. And then we do that again, like, four more times, and it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is... It escalates-ish, but, like, to no great effect. Yeah.
And he, like, murders a goat, and he works at Harvard, right? This is the important part. He works at Harvard. He murders a goat at a fucking goat farm somewhere in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's fair.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah. Speaking of Harvard, I was going to say, we are all academics, and I assert that we all know William Hurt's character in real life.
I hate him.
They for sure nailed the, like, likes to hear himself talk, walk around a party, pontificate about religion, and touch other people too much kind of professor.
Yeah.
Like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That guy exists many times over. So they got that part right, at least. Yeah.
Our buddy Bob Balaban, like, makes the quote when... he's just starting to hook up with his wife when they're still grad students at, I don't know, like some shit university, like Carnegie Mellon or something. I don't know.
boy.
I did that on purpose. Anyway, he makes the quote, "She's still crazy about him. He's still crazy."
Oh, not bad. So that's another one. Early on, like 15 minutes into this movie, he's... talking about mental illness, and he has a whole monologue about how schizophrenia isn't a real thing. And like, maybe
what's his field of study?
It's like psychiatry or something.
Yeah, like
it's unclear.
Paranormal psychology or something.
Yeah. Oh, like the guys in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's...
like, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has a whole rant about, like, I'm not convinced schizophrenia is real. And I was like, in 1980? Like, sure, there were things that we didn't know, like, or hadn't, like, established yet as distinct conditions, but schizophrenia is a pretty big one. Like,
yeah, even at that point, even if it were just an umbrella term for a lot of things that we now know are distinct from schizophrenia, like, that would be pretty fucking radical to say.
Yeah. Well, so he also isn't convinced it's a thing, and then also immediately says, like, oh, but I'm pretty sure that this drug that I took can definitely cure it.
So, oh, yeah, no, so he's fucking Hannah Montana of psychiatry. He's got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I have a couple of quotes from the movie, like with the religiosity that is so ingrained with it. But like,
sure.
So he's having sex with his future wife, mm-hmm. who he nice. Later, he later saves him from becoming a entity of pure energy, and then later saves her from becoming an entity of pure energy. I don't know. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Early on, when they're still dating, after he's like been tripping a bunch, she says, "I feel like I'm being harpooned by some raging monk in the act of receiving God. I feel like my heart is being touched by Christ. It's so weird.
Yeah. If you're gonna do religious imagery, like lay it on thin." Maybe, but like they're so explicit about it. It's really stupid.
It's like mayonnaise on any sandwich you get. Like it should be thin, like it should be like an oil separation, and it is just like a thick pile of creamy nightmare
leaking out onto those jeans. Yeah.
I got another quote about this is his proposal. Okay, we'll get married if it's important to you. I'm not comfortable around women. Yeah. I'm not likely to find one half as remarkable as you. I can be a reasonably good husband.
Mm-hmm. I have yet another
great,
one. He's
great give and take in that relationship.
He's
Christ
so almighty. Shitty to his wife. So another one he says after like trip number one with the goat, like he wakes up and she's like, "What even the fuck are like what happened?" And he goes casually, he goes, "Must have been scary to get a call saying your husband was found sleeping naked in the zoo." And then he just walks away.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
So do they ever explain in the movie what about the drugs are like creating this kind of experience?
Well, I have a quote for it.
Oh, good.
"I'm asking you to make a small quantum jump and accept that there are deviant consciousnesses. They are as real as our waking state, and can be externalized."
Yeah, they do talk a lot about like it's like a different plane, or it's inside of all of us anyway, and you just have to get there.
Yeah,
so this movie is like super Freudian. Then it sounds like
which
again by the 80s would not be something that a practicing psychiatrist would put that much into.
But the weird part
is kind. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, the weird part is, like, so ayahuasca became a huge thing, like, 3-4 years ago, and this is what people talk about with respect to ayahuasca now.
I mean, I knew about ayahuasca when I was, like,
yeah,
in college,
a long time
so I guess
ago.
I'm
oh,
just
yeah,
cool.
But, like, but...
Maybe you're just, maybe just ahead of the curve.
I mean big thing, like...
Spend more time watching Vice on,
well, sure.
I don't know.
But, like, people from, like, the suburbs of San Diego are driving down to fucking Mexico to do ayahuasca now, so, like...
Yeah.
This is what everybody talks
about.
That's happened
for a long time, I feel.
Yeah, but these are like the things people actually talk about are like a less extreme version of what this guy's actually talking about, which is kind of weird at the time.
So is there an element of this movie where like we're to believe that he's just imagining these things are happening, or are we supposed to take it at face value that this is happening?
I think you're supposed to take it at face value.
Yeah, because like he does kill the goat, and like he almost kills all of his friends.
He does turn into Nick Kroll halfway through.
He does. Yeah. No, there. Yeah. At some point, like the security guard guy is like, "Yeah, there was a fucking caveman."
Who looks vaguely like Kelsey Grammer, which I kind of appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough.
Wait, I have a picture of it. I took a lot of pictures.
I know you did.
We'll have to post all of these.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that picture isn't the best concerning his Kelsey Grammerness, but still. So, Lee, to answer your question about, like, how they explain
it. Yeah, that picture looks nothing like Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, well. But I definitely, when I was watching this, I thought he looked like Kelsey.
Sure enough.
Were you, what? Or were you not on ayahuasca?
Well, Kelsey Grammer is God, ergo.
Well, that's true.
Anyway,
that'll work.
To answer your question, I feel like the main conceit of the movie is that man killed God, so man is God. To know God, man must look into self. And I actually have a quote from the movie that supports this. God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs.
Oh, God creates man. I so thought you were going to do the thing.
Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs. Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
It's the earth. Yeah. I was fucking hoping this came up. You Lord. Son of a bitch. You can never do Jurassic Park, you asshole.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Ooh, fun stuff. Yeah, in my notes I have, this is an idiot's version of The Fly. So,
yeah. Correct. Yep.
But Zach and I can't find it in our notes, but we were talking about how, like, this is what people are afraid doing drugs is like.
Yeah.
I can't find it in the notes, but I feel like we had something that we were talking about concerning this.
Yeah, well, I mean, and to be fair, like, he does keep pushing it further and further and further. He's like, more drugs, more sensory deprivation tank and whatever. And everybody's like, stop. Oh. Like,
yeah, no, here's
why?
The,
yeah.
Here's from our chat what I said is, I feel like this movie is both what religious people who love drugs but have never had them think doing drugs like hallucinogens is
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's what religious people who hate or are afraid of drugs but have never taken them think that doing hallucinogens is like.
Yeah.
It's both of these movies simultaneously, because it's both like, yeah, I can finally meet God and I can finally understand my faith. Mm-hmm. And then it's also like, oh no, Satan lives in the lava monster.
It kind of felt like Reagan era Dare gave these guys a bit of money and they were like, take it to the top and then take it over the top.
Oh yeah. I think that's my three word summary was proto art house Dare.
Yeah. Yeah. You did say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Before I did the 22 word summary. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I hate it. This movie is stupid. Don't watch it.
Yeah,
I mean, well, you should watch
definitely.
It. It's stupid. Yeah.
I mean, I'll like, so I'm
like, you're
I'm
gonna watch
exactly...
it, so I'm not gonna tell you not to watch it. But
yeah,
like,
sure,
it's fucking stupid.
I'm not exactly like what you would call an experienced drugsman, but like nothing like this has ever happened to me. Yeah. It sounds like Patty. Yeah. It really does sound like Patty Chayefsky was like, I've heard about these things called drugs. Let me write a screenplay.
Right. It's like she transformed into Nancy Reagan and just fucking lost her mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Patty Chayefsky's a guy, but you know.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Oof. I'll probably cut that out. I don't feel good about that.
No, but you're absolutely right. Like that, it's definitely like someone who has never tripped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hearing what people say and then just taking the worst from it.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, I'm going to go eat a monitor lizard because that's what people do when they're high on ayahuasca.
Pretty What's much. the Simpsons joke? A California club sandwich?
Oh, yeah. No, it's John and Jane Dope are having a California cheeseburger.
That's
a
right.
Baby between two slices of bread.
Oh, dear. I had one more. Confusingly, like halfway through the movie, there's like a 15-second airport scene, and over the announcements, they page someone named Daniel Craig, which
was
weirdly topical for your movie.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about my movie already.
Yeah. So, Bob Balaban is clearly the best character. Like, he's the, like, there are these like kind of background characters that are all talking about the main characters behind their backs, and it is amazing. I do really, really like Bob Balaban being like, oh, like, yeah, my friend is a total asshole to random people at a party.
It's one of these, it's so good when this happens, when there's a movie that's, like, super over the top and no one acts rationally, but there's some rational character that acts like a normal human would, that's just like, man, fuck this guy. Like, everybody hates this guy, and he's being such a dick.
Audience surrogate characters are way more fun when they're just assholes instead of, like,
Yeah.
I mean, but wide-eyed. He's not being an asshole. He's just being rational.
Yeah, he's being a normal human. It's, yeah.
All right, so let me So, like, audience surrogate characters that are, like, wide-eyed, like, whoa! Oh, yeah. My goodness! A flying superhero!
But no, like, I don't care about that. No.
Audience surrogate characters that are just like, can you get a load of this fucking asshole? Yeah. Those are good. Yeah.
Are you guys getting this? Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Oh, Zach, you
got
Can
you believe
else?
He has tenure?
Like, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, well, that does come up a couple of times.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah.
Who gave that man tenure?
God knows. The academic Harvard. System is flawed.
Yeah,
literally Harvard.
Yeah. I'm at a pure research institution. I can do drugs in a sensory deprivation tank if I want.
Oh, hey, we got 1980. Nobody cares.
Are there goats
but,
anywhere?
Sir, you're a poetry professor.
Oh, yeah. And he sleeps with grad students, too, which is some fuckery.
Well, that sounds very 80s. But...
Again, true to academia, though, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it, though. There's power dynamic issues that really upset
me. Oh, yeah, it's real fucked
regard.
Up. It's
certainly.
Just a thing that used to happen a lot. I mean, it still happens.
Still,
it does still
happens.
Happen, yeah. Particularly yeah. at Harvard, which I'll never work at, so I'm willing to bat out them.
Yeah,
I'm
shots not... fired on Harvard.
Yeah, well,
an institution that will never employ any of us.
Yeah, like, I don't have enough credo to work at Harvard, so I'm fine
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a simple farmer from somewhere in the Midwest.
from flyover country.
From flyover country, like whatever that city we always talk about that I
Peoria.
Peoria.
Peoria. Yeah. Peoria, Illinois.
Yep.
We say Illinois because we hate the French. Or whatever.
And it's we love Chufon Stevens.
Oh, boy.
Is that how you say that?
I don't think it is.
Yeah,
that's close enough.
Sufjan. Anyway,
well, he did an album called "Come On, Feel the Illinois."
Yeah,
so.
Which was like
oh,
I like that
fun.
Album title. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
yeah, it was part of a 50 states, 50 albums project that he gave up on like two states in.
Yeah.
That's the right call for sure. That's too much. That's way too much.
I don't want to think about Alaska.
Oof.
North to Alaska,
north
to
Rush's
zone.
Yep.
Yeah, because fucking Johnny Horton already beat him to it.
Arizona. sure. Anyway. Zach, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
New Orleans, Battle of New Orleans.
I got
1814,
nothing.
We took a little trip along the Texas down the mighty Mississippi. Yeah, that song.
Hey, you did it. You did it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know that song. That's an old Demento song, isn't it?
Well, it's also a Johnny Horton song.
Is that also Johnny Horton?
Oh. Yeah, Battle of New Orleans.
I always thought of it as a Dr. Demento song. Anyway.
Well, you would be
Zach.
Wrong.
All
right, thanks. Oh, he did an album just called Michigan. That one's not as interesting. Oh, Illinois is just called Illinois.
Okay, Lee, you're just talking. Zach.
Yeah. yeah, I got nothing. Let's rate this piece of shit.
Okay, so the IMDb.
Wait, I already did.
I'm feeling confident.
Yeah.
The IMDb has the coveted 6.9.
So nice. So, so
nice.
Nice,
nice,
nice, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, we're so close, too, to the real one.
I know.
Yeah, it's true. We're a stone's throw away. Or one altered state. So, Zach, with up against the IMDb's 6.9, what do you rate Lee's movie and this shit show?
Yeah. I guess I'll go OG first. I would say, I don't know, now that I had a couple days to ruminate on it, it's, like, bad, but, like, it had, okay, I don't know, I'm trying to put it in the context of the time, and it feels like it may have been okay then. There were some, like, okay cinematography bits, but not many. I don't know, I'd go, like, a 4. It was pretty bad.
Do you guys like my Mickey Rourke face impression that I've been doing for a while?
That was
really nice.
Yeah, it was very Rourke-esque.
It's really just an impression of Dana Carvey doing a Mickey Rourke impression.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like when the parody became George W. Bush and or George Bush and then George Bush became the parody.
Yeah,
yep.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Lee's thing I thought was pretty fun. Good take on Bond. I like that Bond is so strict to the canon and Lee just fucking threw all that right out the window. That's very fun.
Actually, yeah, I stuck with a lot of the Bond canon.
For sure. The canon, yes.
I appreciated that.
The canon, yes. The rules, not so much. Like, you literally ended the Bond series, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, that's true. I've got to be a Maverick somehow.
Yeah.
R.I.P. John McCain. That.
It's true. I'll give you a 7.
All right. Yeah. I deal with that. That's a pretty good score for a Bond movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. That's true. Yeah. What you got, Seth?
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. I disagree with you, Zach. I think the original version of this is not good. Like, there's nothing really redeemable about it. Like, all of the shots were like a poor man's end of 2001. Like, it's
okay.
Like, it was done.
I would like to talk about that after you finish. So
yeah, well, it was done way more poorly. So, there's all of these like psychedelic scenes, but they are all hard cuts. Yep. And that, like, I don't know. I think that this is kind of a hack movie. Like,
yeah, sure.
It annoyed me a lot, and it was, as I said, like, it's this Reagan era kind of like anti-drug by people who have never done drugs but are either so enamored with them or deathly afraid of them that we should all hang out with Darren, the dare lion of my youth.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah. Oh, that was a thing. I remember, there's like a little stuffed toy, and the officer, whatever his name is, who later got brought up on charges for corruption in my hometown, always brought Darren the Dare Lion with him to every time he came to the school convocations.
Very good.
It was very annoying. I think this movie is kind of shitty and not interesting enough to really warrant, especially not a 6.9.
No. God, no. Heavens, no.
No. So I'm going to give this a 3.
Sure. Okay.
Like, it has some redeeming factors. Like, we talk about Mr. James Bond, who is a good he's a good foil for everything else. Like, he
Bob
really...
Balaban from now on forever will be my second favorite Bond after George Lazenby.
Oh, boy.
The Lays!
You chose poorly, but all right.
But that he is the star of my favorite Bond movie. So
again, you chose poorly, but that's fine. We'll talk about this later. Yeah, so I'm giving a 4 to the original. As for Lee's refreshing Bond movie, one set in a post-apocalypse, which always gives you a point bump.
Yep.
Two is like my favorite Bond movie, Casino Royale, because I like how it's just bucking everything else. Actually, Diamonds Are Forever is my favorite, but
you said that I chose poorly, motherfucker.
I mean, friend of the show, hopefully,
Jill St. John.
Oh, right on. Yeah.
Who I had like a super crush on in high school or whatever.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Yep, it's a good song. It's not a good song.
You know, it's weird. The singer of that song is still alive, and the singer of the theme from Casino Royale is dead.
Huh. Curious.
Who was that?
Chris Cornell.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that was a good one, too. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, you know my name.
Yeah.
Temple of the Dog. Lee, I am going to give you a
Soundgarden.
Yeah, good transition.
Obviously.
I enjoyed it for the most part, but, you know, it's still kind of a shitty Bond movie, but I'd watch it, so you get a 6.5.
Yeah, mid-tier Bond, I'll take that.
That seems pretty accurate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
It would be the Bond movie remembered only because it changed the course of Bond movies.
ended the series. Yeah, I like that.
Ideally, yeah.
I think the one sentence New York Times review is, well, I mean, you know, that's it. 6.5.
Or like Fucking the Village Voice would be like, did this need to be a Bond movie?
Clearly not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like they could have used literally any character here.
No, I've been waiting for at least 5 months to come across a movie where the title allowed me to do a James Bond movie where nations are no longer a thing.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Well, congrats.
Yeah, I wanted to make
a con.
Yeah, I wanted to make a Bond movie where, like, Bond is still loyal to something, but that thing doesn't necessarily exist anymore, so he has to find something new.
Okay.
I like how this is really central to you, so I'm going to bump you up to 6.8.
Oh, you fucking teased me, you bitch.
That's what I do. Perfect. All right, so that was this shit movie with a lover monster.
Yep, and we're done with it forever.
Spit everywhere just now.
Yeah, I saw that. But yeah, this lava monster movie, don't watch it.
Definitely don't watch it. No, it's bad.
It's not really worth it, but Lee is definitely going to watch it. So
I'm super going to watch it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'll send you a stream later.
I've got Filmstruck. It's on there.
Okay. Well, ooh, look at me. I have my pinkies out. And I can
Criterion Gold.
I like movies that are more than 5 years old. Somehow. And that's the cut. Nah, we're not there.
No. We have. We still have more info.
So next one, I'm doing They Live.
I'm excited.
Yes, you are. It's a good. I like that movie.
Yeah. I like that movie too. So fuck you.
Yeah. All right, let's do that hoity British shit again. That'll be the cut this time. Ready?
Mm. Okay, well, so I watched 2001 in a movie theater.
That's definitely the cut right there. I don't. Yeah. You can stop talking.
Definitely the cut. I don't know why you're talking about it now.